This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
All right, ancient aliens, let's set that aside. Let's set aside abductions. When we think of UFO waves, we have the modern UFO era beginning in 1947, plus things like Foo Fighters and ghost rockets in the 40s. And we have other cases through the years, but the 1897 airships seem to have like a special status. And when I read about them, I'm thinking of maybe a Jules Verne novel or H.G. Wells, the very earliest science fiction. So tell us about 1897 and this new article you wrote.
Well, the mystery airships are actually an international phenomenon that began with sporadic sightings perhaps as far back as the 1860s. And this is one of the things we know a lot more about now than we did before the Internet age. And it continued at least into the through the 19-teens. But the epicenter of the American part of the wave, of course, began in California in November 1896 and kind of petered out by the later part of May 1897. All those sporadic sightings continued throughout the year and into later years, as we now know. But everybody who knows the history of UFOs knows about the 1897 wave, where people were reporting seeing things that look like airships or dirigibles, which are lighter than air controlled vehicles, like, you know, that you could get into and have some control over, even though it was lighter than air. And it was a way to negotiate your way through the sky without being entirely driven by the vagaries of wind. But there were no dirigibles in the United States in 1897. Now, dirigibles began flying in the late 18th century in France and Germany. But in fact, the Wright brothers invented heavier-than-air flight in December 1903. But it was only after heavier-than-air vehicles were flying in the United States that dirigibles flew in the United States. The dirigibles were actually came late to America, very late. That historical background is necessary before you start talking about what was going on. Nonetheless, there were these sightings of these fantastic dirigible-like objects. They were called airships. People claimed to see them flying overhead. In some cases, people claimed they had landed and they had interacted with the occupants. And mostly they talked about occupant crews that described themselves as Americans, explained who they were and when they were going to announce their invention to the world, when they were going to take it to the patent office. And then there are other stories that are very hard to believe and seem more like jokes that claim the airships were piloted by Martians. To figure out what was going on, you have to work your way through the 1897 American press, which was not the modern American press. It was just like a free-for-all.
It was like everyone publishing the National Enquirer.
Yeah, and there were jokes, like jokes that if you were living in some village in Kansas, say, and you read a local account of an airship and its occupants, if you read it now, you wouldn't get the jokes. But it was sometimes like, just a parody of local characters. And if you knew the characters, the story is really funny. So you have to work your way through a lot of this stuff. And I got interested actively in investigating the 1897 airships in the 1960s. So I've always been intrigued by it and spent decades trying to figure out what was going on. It began to unravel to me when I realized that not all of the stories about landings and American crews were inventions. that some of these could very well have been people's real experiences, even if there were no American flown airships in 1897. Nonetheless, these experiences were vividly perceived by honest people. To investigate that possibility, I was going over the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of old clippings that have been recovered describing the airship wave. And there was one story that struck me. It was on April 19th, 1897, about 11 p.m., Beaumont, Texas. This guy named Ligon and his son Charlie were returning home late in the evening to their ranch, which was just outside the city of Beaumont, which is in East Texas. And they saw some lights in a field some distance away, and there were not supposed to be any lights there, so they went to investigate. They discovered this giant airship with four big wings on the ground. And Mr. Ligon, J.R. Ligon, engaged this crew in conversation. And the crew members, led by a man named Wilson, no first name, said they needed water. So he invited them into the house to collect water for to help fly their airship. And so they were in the house for a while, and there was this conversation that went on, and Wilson told where they were from, that they developed these ships in the Midwest, and they were going to announce their invention in due course. Then they went back in the ship, and apparently at some point they invited Ligon into the ship to look at what the interior looked like. So this is just an interesting story, but there's no verification for it. But then I discovered a story that was published in the New Orleans paper about a week or two later. It was about a week later, where Rabbi Levy of Beaumont said that recently, when an airship had landed near Beaumont, he had sped to the scene and been in the house with the occupants, and he talked with them. And he said he was so rattled by the experience that he couldn't even remember exactly what they talked about. But he'd seen the airship, he had talked with its crew. There's no mention of J.R. Ligon, but there was only one airship landing that happened in Beaumont, Texas, late that evening. And that had to be the same experience that J.R. Ligon was experiencing. So I went to investigate Rabbi Levy's background, and he was an extraordinarily educated, highly regarded figure in Beaumont. And he was educated in Europe. He grew up in France, went to the best universities, came to the United States to serve as a rabbi in the 1870s, made a very good reputation for himself. Also, he said he told the New Orleans reporter that he was in town to attend his niece's wedding. And it turned out, I learned, that he did indeed have a New Orleans connection, that he had served as a rabbi in New Orleans, among other cities in the South that he had served before he came to Beaumont. So anyway, there was no question that this was about as reliable a witness as you could ask for. I also learned that J.R. Ligon never got over his experience, and he actually constructed a model airship based upon the one that he had entered and observed closely. And he even presented it in a community parade the following July. And this guy, nobody involved in this looks like a hoaxer or a nut. And it turned out that this was one of several apparently related sightings and landings that had occurred in western Louisiana and Texas within a few days of each other in the month of April 1897. So I put this all together in this article, which appears in the January issue of Fortean Times, along with my interpretation of what this was about.
We're going to have more, and we're going to talk about that article entitled Mr. Wilson and the Aeronauts of 1897. It almost sounds like a movie title. Jerome Clark, Curtis Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
One out of four people listening to my voice right now could die from heart disease. This could be your last year, and you don't even know it because you don't know the early warning signs. If you think you're safe because your cholesterol levels are normal, think again, because studies show that 75% of heart attack patients also had normal cholesterol levels. Let me introduce you to Strauss Heart Drops, a world-famous heart and brain formula made in Canada. It's time-tested and will give you clinical results in 90 days or your money back. Learn more at signsofheartdisease.com. They are shipping free this month.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Jerome Clark, Curtis Collins, our guest co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. We continue with this episode. And I likened the title, I guess this was the title the editor of 40 and Times made for your article, Jerry. That is, it sounded like a movie title.
Or like a Jules Verne story, actually.
That's why I compare it that way, yes.
See, when I saw that title, I had another title which I preferred, but when I saw that title, I thought, you know, that's not a bad title. And I thought of those Jules Verne stories about Aronnax that I read when I was a kid and were really thrilling.
I think we're obviously thinking the same way about 1897. So let's go on with the story.
Well, there were other stories. One involved a Sheriff Baylor at Uvalde, Texas, which I think was more than 300 miles away from Beaumont, by my counting. And he claimed that an airship had landed late at night in his, as I recall, in his alley. And he had gone and he talked with the crew. And the crew was led again by a man named Wilson, who said that he had known a local lawman who was now a customs agent along the Texas-Mexico border, and that he had known this guy in Fort Worth 20 years earlier, and that he should greet this customs agent next time he saw him. And so Sheriff Baylor said he would, and the guy gets in the ship and flies away. And then the newspaper, the Houston paper, runs a story that they had found the, they had talked with the customs agent. He said, yes, he said, I did know a man named Wilson in Fort Worth in the 1870s, and he was working on some kind of aerial device, which he claimed would startle the nation. And so he said he must have succeeded in doing that. That seemed really impressive on first reading. And there were other cases of people who saw airships land on their property or near it, and they talked with the crews. And either Wilson was mentioned by name, or from the description of the crew and the interaction with the principal guy, the head of the crew, the implication is that this was a guy named Wilson. And so you put it together, and it looks really interesting, like you've got a chain of evidence here. But when you look at it more closely and start digging deeper and deeper, as I did a few years ago, you find that one of the cases, at least one of the cases, is a confessed hoax. And that's Sheriff Baylor's story. And Sheriff Baylor actually confessed to a small town Texas paper a couple of weeks later. Said I made up. Everybody's bugging me about this, but it never happened. It made up as a joke. So here's the story in the seeming chain of evidence that doesn't stand up. But these other cases, for one reason or another, they do look persuasive. It looks as if most of these claims were sincerely related, and a couple of them weren't. And significantly, perhaps, the two most suspect stories are ones told by law enforcement officers who may have been connected with, these guys may have known each other and just made up these stories to abuse themselves. But the other witnesses are people who, you know, seem like ordinary people who tell this story for no obvious reason and who seem genuinely perplexed about what happened. So eventually I thought, I've got to put this together in a way that makes sense, and that's what the article was about. Was about how hoaxes could be part of a tapestry of genuine experience anomalies.
I wanted to ask you a question about the type of, you know, obviously these we'll call them close encounters. That's self-explanatory, but there was a range of other sightings, and I was just wondering if some of these there were probably some Venus sightings, and I know that there was at least one case where a newspaper investigating, they launched a what we would now call a sky lantern, a fire balloon, to see if that generated the same kind of things. Were some of these daylight sightings or night, or can you kind of characterize a spectrum of experiences?
The alleged encounters with Wilson were all at night, and they were close range. In most of the cases, the witnesses claimed to have been taken aboard the airship and given a tour. And so this is different from seeing a lantern floating in the sky or watching Venus. These either happened or they didn't, or as I suspect, they neither happened or didn't happen. They occurred in some kind of lumen. What am I looking trying to say? Some kind of intermediate state. That these were vivid kinds of visionary experiences that were created out of the idea of airships, including hoaxes about airships. That the hoaxes and the authentic encounters, authentic used in a very broad sense, really came out of the same place. That some of the stories were imaginary and were purely imaginary, but others which used much of the same imagery were actually experienced. They were experienced as real. That these phenomena, like I believe most high strangeness phenomena, come out of some state that is not a binary state. It's not a state between real and unreal. It partakes of both of them. Sometimes more one than the other. But it explains why we can't prove that extraordinary phenomena occur other than as experiences in most cases. That people have these vivid experiences which naturally they understand to be taking place in consensus reality. But in fact, they're taken in some other state of perception. It's like where the ordinary boundaries break down. And at the end, they become what I call experience anomalies as opposed to an event anomaly. An event anomaly is something that you can potentially prove happened in the world. The experience anomaly is far stranger and more fantastic, and you could never prove that it happened in the world. You can prove that people experienced it as they described it, but just the fact that they experienced it doesn't tell you what it was. It's sort of the difference between the unexplained. The unexplained are event anomalies, which are potentially explainable. And experience anomalies are inexplicable. They're just outside all boundaries that we understand and you know, maneuver our way through the world inside.
Long and shorter than the image of the dirigible type craft. That reflects the culture of the time just as a flying saucer does now. We got more to come with Jerome Clark and Curtis Collins and listener questions. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hello, my name is Don Wiskin from HeartDrop.com, the distributors of Extendivite, the number one heart drop that people have been raving about for years. Every February, for the last 16 years, HeartDrop.com has had a Heart Month sale to help you stay heart healthy. For only $115 plus shipping and handling, you can get a 4-month supply of Extendivite in either liquid or capsule form to help you get started on your path to better health. Now is the time to stock up. Order what you need. Stay heart healthy all year with the number one heart drop, Extendivite. To order your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
So with Jerry Clark, as I said, we're talking here about the experience as opposed to the event anomaly. And therefore, the 1897 airship is because that kind of craft was part of the culture then, as a flying saucer or spaceship type device would be today.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. You could even see the airship phenomenon as really not at all related to the UFO phenomenon as defined by the hard evidence cases. That you can just see it as some kind of, you know, extraordinary series of events where all the ordinary boundaries break down. And one thing the ufologists did, and it's understandable, it's not a major intellectual crime, but when they got hold of this, and they knew about the 1897 airships because Ford wrote about them. They appeared in Ford's book, New Lands, which was published in 1923. But they knew about, the early ufologists knew about airships, and so they were these strange objects in the sky. So they naturally assumed these were early UFOs. And Donald Kehoe wrote about them in The Flying Saucers Are Real from 1950, and he basically rewrote the reports so that they sound like modern UFOs. But they weren't modern UFOs. They were very clearly described as dirigibles. And again, I want to emphasize that this was an international phenomenon. There were comparable waves that happened in various times in England, South Africa, Australia, yeah, just about anywhere. Everybody in the late 19th century, in the early 20th century, was experiencing something like airships. But nobody was describing them as looking like saucers or cigar-shaped objects or familiar forms from the UFO era. This was like something really distinct. Now, you can go back into history, and you can find modern-sounding UFO reports from the 19th century, the 18th century, the 17th century. There are such reports which suggest that there may be a UFO phenomenon, possibly indicative of alien visitation, which is separate from these experience anomaly phenomena. But the airships of America and Canada and everywhere else were not UFOs in the modern sense at all. There was a certain amount of speculation that these were Martian visitors, but that was because in the latter 19th century there was a great deal of speculation, even in the sober scientific press, about the existence of Martians. And there were attempts to contact Martians, you know, through, you know, shining bright lights and doing things like that. And there was speculation that Martians might have visited the Earth, quite apart from airship sightings. But that strain of speculation at some point got sucked into the airship phenomenon, but it was only a minor part of it. The major belief, the major experience, the experiential part of the airship phenomenon was about secret inventors.
I read that Thomas Edison was accused of building an airship, and he denied it. Do you remember anything about that?
Yeah, not only did he deny it, he claimed that airships would never amount to anything. They would be nothing but toys. So he was right about the first part and wrong about the second part. There was all kinds of speculation about who the inventor might be. And there were even people who claimed that they were the inventor, or they knew the inventor, but they were, I think, just making that up.
So our best-known Martian story was the Aurora crash, and there's a lot of legends about that. And, well, not everyone has put it to rest. Do you think there's anything about that that's worthy of study?
Well, it was typical of the newspaper hoaxes of the period. And another one that I debunked myself back in the mid-1970s, the Alex Hamilton, you know, calf napping by aliens in an airship where they supposedly lassoed a calf. And later they found the butchered remains in a field with no footprints around it. You know, that story looked really impressive, but it was just a practical joke by some of the prominent citizens of a small town in Kansas in April 1897. The Aurora story is interesting because it involves a Martian, it involves a crash of a spaceship. You know, these are things that we've heard about a lot since subsequently, but it was just a joke.
I remember reading about one other hoax, and my memory of it to them, but you, I'm sure you probably remember it. It was where debris was found of a supposedly a crashed airship. I'm not giving you much to go on, but as I remember it, they pushed
84 in Nebraska.
Okay.
It was just a made-up story.
The one that I was thinking of, it may be the same thing. They had pushed debris down a hill and claimed it was pieces of the ship. This
oh,
may be
yeah.
another one.
That was California in late 1896. Yeah, there were hoaxes. I mean, people sometimes would build a structure and pass it off as an airship. Of course, it wouldn't stand up on examination. And these hoaxes were typically put forward less as a hoax and as a prank or a joke. Just it was kind of like the sense of humor of the frontier, where the more outrageous and unbelievable a story was, the better it was, because it was just entertainment. Nobody was really serious about hoaxing.
You know, speaking of Aurora, I think of an interesting character who I haven't heard about for years, Hayden Hughes, who was really pushing the Aurora, Texas affair.
He was. I don't think that it's charitable interpretation that Hayden was really familiar with the press treatment of airships in 1897, that it was really just part of a pattern of outlandish, made-up stories that I really don't believe anybody was meant to take seriously. I think when they were published in newspapers, they were meant and taken as light entertainment. That, you know, story about a Martian crashing an airship was just so obviously outlandish and even preposterous that I think that the average reader just laughed, knew that it was just, you know, a joke. But I think that Hayden Hughes and other people who went to Aurora subsequently definitely. And there's nothing wrong with going to Aurora on the very slight chance that there was something to the story. But I think you just have to understand the context in which that story was told.
That is the problem, I think, which is you're looking at something that was written originally in the late 1890s, and things are very different then. Just, for example, as the newspapers, it wasn't like the New York Times or the Washington Post, and you take these publications seriously, because they're meant to be taken seriously, whether you believe it's a mainstream media, liberal media, or whatever. You have serious people doing serious work. It's not just writing a story to have fun, to sell papers, to make some money, to do wacky things. And even though we have publications that do it now, you have to look at this in the context. But if you take the story separate from the environment in which it was created, I could see where it could be taken more seriously than it should be.
Yeah, you have to really have, as I did and as other people did, just read enough of the press coverage from the American papers of 1897 to really get a sense of what was going on just at the basic reporting level. Now, this isn't true of all newspapers. All newspapers weren't doing this, but enough of them were that we got an enormous amount of noise. And some people, including my friend Eddie Bullard, still argue that it was nothing but noise. I do not believe that, because this was an international phenomenon. And when you read newspapers in England or Australia reporting, or New Zealand reporting on their airships, you don't have all this noise. This is kind of sober reporting. They're not jokes. They're treated like real news stories. It turns out that what they were seeing in New Zealand in 1909, 1910, Australia, England, their descriptions are very much like what you read in the more sober, less jokey, or sensational stories in the 1897 American press.
We've got more to come with Jerome Clark. I'm Gene Steinberg. He's Curtis Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
After the Paracast can sometimes be called more of the Paracast, or an interruption of the Paracast. We never know what's going to happen next, which is the great thing about that show. It's a podcast available only if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. We also give you a version of the show without the network ads, and not just to satisfy the people who complain at YouTube. It's available if you check out plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Prices start at just $1.49 a week. And by the way, we are looking into other ways to pay for it. Right now, you can use a major credit card through PayPal or PayPal. But we're looking into other ways for you to pay for your subscription, and we have to have them shortly. We have a bunch of questions from listeners that Kirk Collins is preparing for us. And one thing to bear in mind here, Jerry hasn't followed all the UFO gossip in recent years, although he's got some news that will interest you about the UFO encyclopedia. In the meantime, Kurt's got them all ready. Let's have a few questions.
Well, with that in mind, we'll ask a question first about current events. Usual Suspect wants to know, what is your opinion on To the Stars Academy venture?
Well, as I was explaining to Gene probably more than once, after I published the second volume of the UFO Encyclopedia, which came out, the second edition of this encyclopedia came out in 1998, if you're familiar with that work, you'll know that it was the product of an enormous amount of research. And I got so burned out that it was just hard for me to think anything about UFOs for a long time. And I really turned my interest toward creating what I jokingly referred to as a unified field theory of the novelistics. So I was looking at other stuff other than UFO data, like, you know, people's experiences of fairies and monsters and all kinds of fantastic stuff, and trying to sort that out, what the meaning of all that was. So I really neglected ufology until recently, when my attention was ripped back into it. But so if you talk to me in 6 months after I finish the book that I've just started, I'll be a lot more informed, because I will be educating myself and catching up on a lot of UFO stuff. So as far as the To the Stars story goes, all I know right now is what I read in the papers. So I don't really have a strong opinion. I will be delving deeply into that. So ask me again in 6-8 months, and I may actually have something worth listening to say about it.
Now, I noticed one thing here. We were talking about this for a while. The fact is, after the initial flurry of donations that brought it over $2 million, donations have stalled big time. We're not hearing too much about it. The number of investors in the project has not increased a lot. It requires a minimum investment of $200, and that gets you 40 shares at $5 each. The total amount raised as of mid-February is $2,420,643. That sounds like a lot of money. For us, it's probably not a lot of money with all the projects they want to take on. But it's not increased more than a couple of hundred thousand in the last couple of months or so. So I just wonder if either people are wise to it, people are not impressed by it, or they're not keeping the site updated.
You know, popular attention is fleeting, God knows. You know, UFOs come in and out of popularity, as we well know. And I don't know. I just don't know. When I dig into this, which I will be doing, maybe I'll know more about how this works. But it seems to me not surprising with everything else that goes on, that once the initial intense attention has passed, that people will move on to other ways to deposit their money.
Also, there are no new announcements. We heard about these gun camera things and a few other reports, but there's been nothing new. It's just repeating the same thing. In fact, the last time I saw Leslie Kane on TV, and this was on the Tucker Carlson show on Fox News, and he was surprisingly serious considering his usual approach to different things like this. And she spent a lot of the time not talking about UFO events or anything that the Pentagon UFO study revealed, but about the O'Hare case in Chicago at O'Hare Airport. Just to let you know, it was resurrecting a case over a decade old, but nothing from that study and nothing that hasn't been covered quite a few times, which is part of what we normally see in the UFO field. You do have sightings. MUFON catalog sightings, Chris Rutkowski catalogs lots of sightings year after year, but there's nothing new about them.
Yeah, it reminds me of a line from a John Prine song. All the news just repeats itself. The UFOs lost their novelty a long time ago, and they really have given us nothing more. UFOs are not giving us anything new to chew on, that's for sure. And it's really hard to sustain interest in sightings because, as you say, nothing novel is happening. I mean, what's going on is very strange, extraordinary, unexplained, but it's familiar. Way too familiar by now.
And again, the public is fickle about such things. And maybe that's the reason why contactees always had to have wilder and wilder claims to keep the public's attention up. They had to come up with a new story. And I sometimes wonder here if some of those contactees, and I've mentioned this before, had something happen that was strange, some kind of experience, and they got the public attention. They got the 15 minutes of fame. And then their followers, such as they were, wanted something new. And not having something new occur and wanting the attention and the 15 minutes of fame now expand to 30 minutes, they invented something.
That's exactly my interpretation of the way that worked. I think you're right. It's kind of like, you know, like mediums. Maybe mediums really did at some point, you know, have some extraordinary connection with something, but they couldn't produce it on demand. And so they began, you know, making stuff up, learning, you know, trickery to keep the audience. I think, you know, contactees are just the latest iteration of that kind of, you know, contact with some other world, however defined, that it wasn't there on demand. And you may have it once and it doesn't come back again, and then you have to make it up so that you can keep the game going. And I suspect that even these contactees who were engaged in some degree of conscious hoaxing at some point began themselves to lose track of what was true and what was not true. I think there was a really interesting psychology going on there. And I also think that there were what I call experience anomalies, you know, muddling the whole picture. And I think that the closer you look at some of these contactees, the ones who weren't just shameless charlatans out to con little old ladies out of their life savings, and there really weren't very many of them. But if you look closely at the classic contactees, the stories, the whole phenomenon, the whole world they existed in was ragged around the edges. It's not all black and white.
Our other questions are a little closer to the airship topic. So let me go on and read the one from Wade. He says, this question may seem rather broad, but it seems to me that after 100 years plus, this subject has brought on a renewed interest, to which I question why. It would be one thing if anyone thought there were evidence of superior aeronautical engineering at play or a secret space program, but they were just balloons apparently in use during the previous century. So do you agree with any of that?
Well, they weren't dirigibles in use in America at the time, because there were no dirigibles in America at the time. You know, aeronautical historians are insistent on that. It's only people who don't know the history, the aeronautical history, who claim they were just ordinary dirigibles. They weren't. They were fairly extraordinary in their way, and they were huge. Some of them were described as 150, 200 feet long. Whoever invented them, who was a real inventor or a conglomeration of inventors, would have stood to make an enormous amount of money. But there is zero evidence that these guys existed, that their ships existed. All we have is this testimony and the claimed experiences of all kinds of people, some of them not reliable, some of them apparently quite reliable. And again, this was an international phenomenon, that the same thing was seen in a number of different countries, you know, under similar circumstances. The descriptions were the same. And not in America, not in any of the other nations where these sightings were reported, did evidence of a secret society of aeronauts ever emerge. It just didn't happen.
We have more with Jerome Clark about the 1897 airship mystery. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.